Turn back with me to Romans chapter 12. I could not preach a more needed message, a more vital message, considering the times that we're living in. These are perilous times, which Paul spoke of to young Timothy in his letter. Perilous times. 2 Timothy 3 is a description of the day we're in right now. Latter times. Dangerous times. Very dangerous for everyone, especially our youth. I'm glad there are so many young people in here this morning. I hope you'll pay close attention. This is a matter of life and death. I feel that strongly about it. Let's read verses 1 and 2 of Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. The word transform is only used twice in God's Word. It's used when the Lord went up on that mountain with three of His disciples, and it says He was transfigured before them, changed into a glorious being of light. He was not changed Himself, but appeared to be changed. All He merely did was remove the veil of flesh that He was wearing so that they might see who He really is. Light. God. But it's used only twice, and this is the second time. Transform. The word transform is the same word, and it means this. And I'm not trying to impress you with anything. But the very word is metamorphosis. You young people have studied this in science, biology, and so forth. Metamorphosis. It's a drastic change that comes over something. It turns it from something into something else. A drastic, a radical change. It's something that the thing does not do to itself. It's too drastic. It's too amazing. It's supernatural. Metamorphosis is a supernatural thing. And I'm going to give you an illustration of that in a little while. Turn with me to John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3. Now, He says, be not conformed, but rather transformed. The fact of the matter is, everyone in here is born with certain physical and mental characteristics. And you cannot change them. Some of you, well, all of you, are like your parents. Like it or not. Generally, we have most of their bad traits, do we not? But we are born with certain physical and mental characteristics. Science calls these genes. That's just a fancy word, meaning that you like your mama and daddy. You just like them. The Lord said this would be that way. He ordained it to be this way. In the creation, you remember, after He created everything, what does it say? It says He created such and such a thing after its kind. Everything would reproduce itself after its kind. Are you with me? All right. We cannot change ourselves. That's what I'm trying to say. You cannot transform yourself.
John chapter 3, our Lord said this to a religious leader who was ignorant of this. Verses 3 through 8. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again," born from above, "he cannot see the kingdom of God." He can't see it, he can't be in it, except he be born from above, born again, spiritual. Read on. Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, or of a truth, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again." Read on. "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and you hear the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Salvation, this transformation, it is a transformation. It's a new, being a new creature. This metamorphosis or change is the change of a son of Adam into a son of God. It's a radical change. It's, the scriptures calls it going from darkness to light. It's so radical. From darkness to light, the scripture says it's like being brought from death to life. Being a dead person to a living, breathing, talking, acting, reacting human being. It's that radical. And it requires something supernatural. You can't do it to yourself. We didn't give birth to ourselves, did we? Someone else birthed us. Our father sired us. Our mother travailed in giving birth to us. We were passive in the thing. Totally passive. So it is in salvation. Why do I say this? Why do I say this? Because God gets the glory for that. God must get the glory. He does. He's the Father. Christ is the one who travailed to give birth to His people. The Holy Spirit's the one who conceived the seed. The Holy Spirit's the one in time who takes the seed. I'm getting ahead of myself. Salvation's of the Lord. The scripture says this over and over again. Born of God. John 1. Born of God. Born from above, he says here. Born from above. Somebody else gave birth to it. Born of the Spirit, it says there in verse 8. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are the ones who do this radical transformation or metamorphosis. How does it happen, though, this change? Look here in the same chapter, John 3. The Lord said in verse 5, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Water. He says, "That which is flesh, but spirit is spirit." There's two things he means here. Two things, I believe. Number one, you're born on this earth. You have to be born the first time. You have to be born the first time in order to be born again. When a child is born into this world, what happens first? The first thing that precedes the birth of that child is what? The water of the womb breaks open, and the child literally comes out by water. You understand? That's what he lives in. He lives in that embryonic fluid, amniotic, embryonic, whatever. You tell me. But it's water. But then you got to be born from above, spirit. That which is flesh is flesh. It's never going to be anything but flesh. But now that which is spirit, God puts, this is something new, a new creature. All right, the second meaning, I believe, he means of this is the water.
of the Word of God. 1 Peter 1, go over there. 1 Peter chapter 1, go over there with me. Stay with me, please. Ask the Lord, all of you, young and old, ask the Lord to give you ears to hear. This is faith cometh by hearing. Life begins through hearing. We need to hear this. Words of life. 1 Peter chapter 1. The Lord said, except you be born of water and of spirit, cannot enter the kingdom of God. Water being God's Word. God's Word. He's called the water in Ephesians 5. He said that. He cleansed His church by the water of His Word. But here in 1 Peter 1, verse 23, it says this. Read on. Verse 23 through 25. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, that is, not of human seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is grass, the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. That is, flesh is going to die. Whatever is flesh is going to die. It's not going to last. But now, this incorruptible seed, the Word of the Lord, this new creature endureth forever. And this is the Word, this is the seed, which by the gospel is preached unto you. Nobody knows when conception begins, humanly speaking. I mean, I know, I'm not going to go into all the artificial conception and all that, but basically, when this thing, a child is conceived by two parents, nobody really knows. The parents don't know when that seed actually is conceived into a life. They don't know. God only knows, right? And He's the one who decides. He's the one that decides when and who gets life. And so it is in spiritual life. Nobody knows. Preacher doesn't know. No preacher's ever saved anybody. Ever. And he doesn't know when it begins. He knows when it begins to be revealed. It becomes pretty clear. Like, you know when a child is born. When a child is born and comes out, well, there it is. And so it is, in spiritually speaking. No one knows but God when this actually takes place. When God Almighty takes the Word, whatever word He's pleased to use. But it's the truth. It's the gospel. But whatever message, whatever part of God's Word, nobody knows but Him when He plants this in a dead heart. The wind bloweth where it listeth. So as everyone is born of the Spirit. You don't know when. You hear it. You hear the sound, but you don't know who's going to get it. It's God's Word, it's God's will, it's God's choice. He decides, right? He gets the glory that way. He gets the glory. Salvation, life is in Him. But we do know how God does this. We do know that there is one way, one thing God uses to create this life. That's what Peter just said. The Word of God. And this is the Word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Would you go with me to so many places. 2 Thessalonians. Go over there real quickly. 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Go over there with me. This is one of my favorite places. 2 Thessalonians 2, let's read verses 13 and 14. He says, we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. We thank God for you. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God's sovereign purpose and will. And we thank God for you because God hath from the beginning chosen you to save you
We thank God. We're bound to thank God always. For you, you're here. Dan, you're here because God Almighty chose you to be here and chose to save you. You're not here because you chose to be. I know you. I remember. Don't we, Jill? Had it been left up to you, you would not be here. So it is with everybody in here. Not just you. I just happened to call on you. It's the same way with Stan. Everybody in here who's here, who believes. Read on.
God hath from the beginning chosen you through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. The Holy Spirit, like our Lord said, that blows where it listeth. You were brought in here by God's sovereign will and purpose at a certain time. I'm going to just stay with you, all right? Started picking on you. And you heard several messages, didn't you? But the Holy Spirit and God in the fullness of time, the Holy Spirit set you apart to call you by the gospel and give you this faith in Christ. And it's the same with every person in here. The next verse says, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. This salvation he called you to by the gospel. This is what God uses. The preaching of the gospel. Now the world calls it foolishness. So, most of the world is not saved. But this is what God is pleased to you. It's what God is pleased to you. We have this treasure and it's in earthen vessels too. Poor, pitiful men who make what seemed to them to be pitiful attempts at declaring this unsearchable riches of Christ. Yet God Almighty takes it by His Holy Spirit and takes a word in season and sends it like an arrow to the heart of whoever He chooses. Pooh! And it's like God Almighty, it is God Almighty speaking to them personally. Saying, I've chosen you. I've called you. You're mine. You're not your own. And so on. By the gospel. And that gospel is simply a declaration of who God is. The gospel is a declaration of who God is. Holy, just, sovereign, mercy, love, grace. That gospel is a declaration of who Christ is. The Christ. The only mediator between God and man. The only blood sacrifice. The only Lamb of God which taketh away sin. The only high priest. The only intercessor. The only way. The truth. The life. The only way to God. The salvation is in Him and Him alone. The only righteousness that God will accept. The only such. The gospel is simply a declaration of Christ. Who He is. Our salvation and what He did. He saved His people. Went back and never lives to intercede for. The gospel is a declaration, simply a declaration of what we are. Grass. Worms. Not able to do anything. Helpless, hopeless, sinful. Unacceptable to God. Not pleasing to God. In ourselves. It's just simply a declaration. The gospel is, the preaching of the gospel is not asking people to do anything. It's not begging people to do anything. It's a declaration of that message. Who God is. Who Christ is. What man is. Our Lord told Isaiah, get up under the rooftop and say unto them, all flesh is grass. Don't ask anybody. Don't beg anybody. Don't plead with anybody. It's not up to your pleading. Not up to your... Just tell them, you're grass. Grass is withering. God's going to set fire to the grass. There's no goodness in it. And then tell them, behold your God. Behold your God. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Tell them, behold God's servant, God's elect. He's the one that saved grass. That's the gospel. And the Holy Spirit takes this. Who's sufficient for these things? I preached what I thought was the best message you could be preached, and to no avail, to no effect. People sleep through it. And I preached what I thought was the worst message. It shouldn't have been preached at all. People weeping during it. Who's sufficient for these things? The wind bloweth where it listeth. You can't tell. You can hear the sound, but you can't tell where it's coming or where it's going. And so it is with this work of God. But this is what He used it. I'm going to keep doing it. Times I sit there and I look out and I see people that I would love so much to be able to convince them. I would love so much to be able to do something to them. I mean, there's times I wish I was one of the apostles where I could actually lay my hands on them and they receive the Holy Spirit. Lord, save them. I can't do that. But I know what does. So I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep shooting the same arrows. Well, I've said the same. You've heard, everybody in here has heard everything I've said up to this point 100, maybe even 1,000 times over. But I know this was the arrow that hit this old dark heart. When I was 18 or 19 years old, this is what God Almighty, 20 years old. This is what God Almighty, heard it until one day, the arrow hit me. I wasn't there because I wanted to. I wasn't there because I chose to. I was there for all the wrong reasons. But God, who's rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved this worthless rebel, quickened me by this quickening word. So I'm going to keep doing it. Same old arrows, because this is the arrow that hit me. This is the arrow that hit Henry. This is the arrow that hit Roberta, isn't it? It's the arrow that hit young Samuel. It's the arrow that, well, used to be young. When he was young, Samuel. This is the arrow that hit all of God's people. I'm going to keep doing it until I die. Until you live. We're born again by this word. God sends the word, the gospel. The Holy Spirit gives ears to hear. And it's a radical transformation. It's a radical transformation. It's a metamorphosis. It's a change that's wrought in a person. A new creature. Scripture says a new creature. Something that's never been there before. A new creature. Like a baby that's born. Every baby that's born on this earth has never been there before. It's brand new. There's never been another one like it. Similar, yes, but not just like it. Brand new. And so it is in this thing of salvation. A new creature. Old things, he said, pass away. All things become brand new. Once dead to God, here's a 19, 20-year-old, 21, and on, sitting in the pew, wishing the preacher had quit. But then one day, according to the working of God's Holy Spirit, they don't want him to quit. They can't get enough of what he's saying. Now that's a change. That's a radical change. Once dead to God and alive to the world, absolutely rip, roaring, snorting, alive, go get it, grab the gusto, get everything you can, do it till it kills you. Alive to the world, but dead to the things of God. No matter what anybody says to you, no matter what you hear, no matter what your parents say, what the Word says, no effects at all whatsoever. Dead. Might as well not even have ears when it comes to this. But then one day, a drastic change. I'm going to kill myself if I stay that course. I'm going the broad road that leads to destruction. God have mercy and save me or I perish. It's a radical change. Death to life. Once no taste whatsoever for the Word. No taste whatsoever. Nothing about it that appeals to that natural person. Nothing about it. Nothing you can say has any appeal to it. And then all of a sudden, a hunger and a thirst. Can't get enough. An insatiable desire. Hunger and thirst. Feelings. Once, no feelings whatsoever. Dead. No feelings. Preacher'd laugh. No laughter. Preacher'd cry. No crying. Preacher'd whatever. Nothing could move that dead heart. And then one day, weep when he's not weeping. laugh when he's not laughing. Feelings. It's life. A new creature, never been there. Old things pass away, Paul said, and all things become brand new. Old things pass away. Old thoughts. Begin to think new thoughts. You begin to think 180 degrees different from what you used to think. Old opinions, old principles, or lack of them. Didn't have any. Now you have some all of a sudden. New thoughts. Begin to think like God thinks. Well, this is right, isn't it? God is right, isn't it? God is true, isn't it? Old new ways. Oh, I want to walk. I want to do that. New walk. New friends. Well, y'all can go on and do that if you want to, but I got some new people here that I want to associate with. New family. It's change. It's radical. It's a metamorphosis. Transformation. Now, though it's radical, it is a change, it's not complete. It's not immediate in the person. I mean, you don't see an immediate, total transformation. It's like Lazarus. Remember Lazarus when the Lord called Lazarus from the grave? No, it was a change. It was an obvious change from death to life. But he still had grave clothes wrapped around him. Still had, and the Lord told his disciples, unwrap those. Just keep unwrapping them. So it is in spiritual life. Dead, then come forth by the word of God, but they're still grave clothes. And all our lives we're unwrapping these. Through the preaching of the gospel, these grave clothes are being unwrapped. We see a little more, see a little more, see a little more. Right? Like a child that is born bears a resemblance to its parents. It bears a striking resemblance to its parent. Characteristics of the parent, yet not completely, right? They have to grow up into an adult. So many of you, but Steve, let me pick on Steve there. That's Joe Parks. There's times when I look at him, I call him on the phone, and I'm startled. He's his dad, isn't it? That's the way, but he wasn't when he was 6 months old. He couldn't even talk. He had those characteristics, but they had to be developed until finally he's a grown man. And but it's not there yet, are you, Steve? You're not Joe Parks yet. Oh, man, that man was way up there, wasn't he? Got a long way to go. Yeah, I feel the same way. You think, people tell me, you know, you sound just like your dad. Or you listen to you. Thank you. Thank you very much. What a compliment. But I'm not even close. And so it is with God's people who are being conformed to the image of Christ. When they're born, they're complete in Him. They're whole. They're in Christ. In God's eyes, that's a son of mine. Oh, but he needs to grow up. And to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And this comes the same way as life comes. You know what? This growth, this development. Steve became like his dad by listening to his dad. Right? By observing his dad. By watching his dad, by walking with, talking with his dad, right? Studying, learning. And so it is with this thing of being conformed to Christ in it, being transformed. Faith cometh by hearing, life cometh by hearing, so does growth. Same way. Hearing, observing, learning, walking. Walking. Back to Romans 12. Go back to Romans 12. Now, why does the text say, be ye transformed? Why does it say that? Be ye transformed. It doesn't say transform yourself, does it? Labor the point that this is written. You can't take something out of context. You need to know what it said before. Verse 1 says, therefore, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. There's a whole lot said before Romans 12. He's talking to those who were called to be saints, those beloved of God, those who justified by His grace, those who justified by faith, those who are crucified with Christ, those who are alive unto God, those who receive the spirit of adoption, and on and on. But he says here in verse 1, now stay with me a few more minutes. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. I beseech God that He will show mercy on someone here this morning who's not a brother, who's not a believer, who's not yet been operated on by the Holy Spirit. I beseech God for that work. I beg Him, I plead with Him from the minute I sit there, well, long before that, that God would use this word on somebody that hadn't been used on before, young or old. But we beseech you, he says, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, present yourself, to be transformed. Do you understand? There's the key. We can't transform ourselves. We can't do it. We try, don't we, Deborah? Oh, I'm going to quit that. I'm going to do better. Well, maybe for a while. Seems like the harder we try, the harder it gets. One's baby step forward, two giant steps back. Is that the way you feel? I do. But present yourself unto God. Transform me. Lord, change me, and I'll be changed. Turn me, and I'll be turned. And I beseech every person in here, young and old, that you ask, seek, and knock. To everyone that asks, He'll receive. Everyone that knocks, it'll be open. Everyone that seeks, they'll find. Listen to me. If you don't, you're gonna stay dead and die with the dead. If you don't ask, you won't receive. If you don't seek the Lord, you'll not be found out. If you don't knock, it's not gonna be open to you. You don't say, Lord, help me, you'll perish. But you said a while ago, preacher, that we can't change ourselves. I know that. But the Lord said, ask, seek, knock. And it's not a one-time thing. Not a one-time thing. It's a continual thing. I say this to everybody. Everyone, ask, seek, knock, present yourself, transform me. Here am I, Lord, change me. And you know, here's the thing about it. The person who does that, the person who does ask, seek, and knock, the person who presents themselves to the Lord, comes to Christ, has been already. Life has begun. Well, stay with me now. Let's look at this in closing. He says in verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed. Let me give you some examples of the world. Listen to me, everybody, especially young people.
because you've got a whole life ahead of you. Maybe. 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 I pulled my best friend out of the basement dead in asphyxiation. He was 15 years old. And he was a mess at 15. He was a mess. Killed himself. My brother at 21. Maybe you've got a life ahead of you. Maybe not. Don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But listen to me. This is life or death. Okay? The world. The thoughts, the opinions, the ways of the world is opposite of what God says. Absolutely, completely opposite. You go with it, you go down with it. You listen to it, you'll die with it. You conform to it and follow it, you'll get what it's coming, has coming to it by God. It's either so or it's not. God's way, God's word, what God says is exactly opposite. He said, my thoughts are not your thought. My ways are not your thought. Not your way. The world says pride is good. The world says pride is a good thing. Be proud. God hates it worse than anything. Hates it. He said it goes before a fall. There's a verse of Scripture that says God has purposed it to do away with every one and thing that's proud. A proud look. Women are so proud. Men and women are so proud of the way they look. Their beauty. Young girls. So proud. Strutting around. Strutting herself. God hates it. Absolutely hates it. Absolutely hates it. And he's going to snuff it out. People are proud of their intellect, proud of their wisdom. The only reason we're not vegetables is the mercy and grace of God. The only reason we're not born mentally retarded is the mercy and grace of God. And I'm not so sure that, well, I kind of believe that all the so-called mentally retarded are God's elect. You won't find them being puffed up with their own wise and their own conceits, and that's mercy, I believe, for them. The world says pride is good. The world says ambition, gain, go after it, get what you can, walk over whoever you can to get it. God says it's covetousness, and you're going to be killed for it. The world says sexual expression. You need to sexually express yourself. So God gives them over to the dye of every disease imaginable because of it. God calls it perversion. God warns over and over against sex outside of marriage. He said if you do it, you're gonna reap the results of it. Maybe a child out of wedlock, and you're gonna be miserable the rest of your life. Unless God has mercy on you, the child, and your husband, if you still got one around. And every disease imaginable is going around because of it. God says, don't do it. The world says, do it. Do it. God says, don't do it. The world says, express yourself. God says, you're going to die because of it. And it happens. And these fools can keep on and they die in their sin. Don't you do it. You're listening to me this morning, young people. You're listening to the Word of God this morning. I hope. That's the reason I say only God can give ears to hear. The world says attitude is a good thing. Attitude. God calls it rebellion. God says submit to those that have authority over, whether whoever it is. The world says question authority. God says you better not. Because all authority comes straight from God. Don't listen to God. You'll go down with all rebels. God's going to snuff out all rebels. Don't be conformed to this world now. The world says alternative lifestyle is good. Diversity is good. God calls it homosexuality. He calls it sodomites. He's going to kill them all. Unless he saves some of them. And when he does save them, he gets them out of that. Cleans them up. Religion. Let's get into religion now. Religion says traditions are good. God calls it vain conversation. Religion says works of righteousness. We need to work works of righteousness. God says it filthy rags. Look it up what that means. Filthy rags. Religion says, oh, I highly esteem this man or that man. He's won so many. This person, that person, this religion, that God, it's an abomination to God. These people getting glory to themselves. It's absolutely abominable. Holiday, holy day. The world esteems holy day. God hates it. He doesn't accept it. He says, it's a stench in my nostrils, your holy days, your new moons, your Sabbath day. That's Isaiah 1. He said, away with it, it stinks. All this pageantry in religion, once a year or twice a year, God hates it. The world says salvation is by man's decision. Oh. God says salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is by my Son dying for you. Salvation is by my Son living for you. Salvation is in Christ and Christ alone. The world says, yeah, but. God's going to kill every butt. Every goat that butts. God says, salvation is in my Son. You better look to Him and Him alone. The world says, yeah, but I'm okay, you're going down. The world says there's many faiths. It's all, everybody's sincere, and they're all going to God. God says there's one faith, one way, one Lord, one baptism, one hope of your calling, one. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The world says, that's too narrow. Christ says, okay, go the broad way. Go on. That leads to destruction. There is a way that seems right unto me, but the end is death and destruction. Christ said, I am the way that leadeth unto life. Be not conformed to the world. We don't conform to modern religion. We're nonconformists. We're just not going to do it. Not going to do it. Because God hates it. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What transformed? This right here. This right here. It keeps transforming us. Let me give you an illustration in closing, okay? Everyone in here has seen or at least read, seen pictures of a caterpillar going through this thing of metamorphosis, haven't you? This is exactly the word, metamorphosis. A caterpillar is a what? A worm. Oh, it's a pretty worm. No, it's not. I don't think there's anything pretty about it. I think earthworms are prettier. All those legs on a caterpillar. It's not a pretty worm. It's a worm. We call them bagworms. We burn them up, don't we? Huh? We see them all over the tree. We try to burn them all up. Destroy our trees. There's nothing pretty. There's nothing profitable about them. Nothing. Now that worm is groveling around. It's a perfect illustration. It's sightless. They don't have any eyes. They can't see. You ever see little ears on the feathers? Have ears. Earthbound. Groveling. Earthbound. In the dirt. Or on a tree or whatever. One day. Now, this is amazing. This is amazing. One day, just one day, all of a sudden, something starts happening. A thing begins to weave a web around itself. It's silk or whatever.
Until that thing is so bound up tight and just wrapped up into a little cocoon. That's what the word is, isn't it? A cocoon. A little tomb. It has entombed itself. It looks, well, it's dead. It's dead. It's cut off from the world. It's dead. It's entombed. Oh, no. Hang around. And you don't know when this is going to happen either, do you? You don't know when this happens. The Bible, one day, all of a sudden, they start popping open. Starts breaking open, that cocoon. And lo and behold, it's not a caterpillar. These big, beautiful wings of various colors, shapes and sizes. It's a butterfly. And he doesn't head to the ground to get back in the dirt. He mounts up on wings and flies as high as he can fly. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these now allure its sight. The worm before had no interest in flowers. Didn't even smell, didn't have a nose. Oh, the butterfly flits from flower to flower, gathering nectar. It's worth something now, Tammy. What's it doing? Pollinating, spreading the seed. What a good illustration this is. Change, a radical change is taking place. Radical. Metamorphosis. Oh, you know, every now and then the butterfly will hit the ground. You see them on the ground, don't you? You walk and wonder, what are they doing there? You don't belong there. And they don't stay there, do they? They're gone again. Seeking better things. So it is, this transformation from a child of God into a child of God. A worm, man's a worm. Groveling in the ground. No ears to hear the word of God. No eyes to see any beauty in Christ in the gospel. No mouth to taste it. No nose to smell this sweet savor. And then one day, God Almighty begins to bind them up with the word of God. Cords of love, doesn't it, John? Wraps them up. Binds them up to where they can't get away. Kills them, crucifies them with Christ, just slays them by the word till they're just, I'm dead, I'm cut off. No, you're not. Life is beginning. I'm nothing, I'm nobody, I'm a worm, I'm not, no, you're not. The fullness of time, through the same preaching, brings them out of that shell. Peace by believing. And mount up on wings of eagles. Things that are higher. Things that are nobler. These have allured their sight. Transformed. A new mind. New heart. New ways. New desire. New everything. New creature. Old things passed away. Oh, hit the ground every now and then. Fall every now and then. But though he falls seven times, yet the Lord will pick him back up again. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't walk like it, talk like it, look like it, act like it, or you'll get what's coming to it. Don't follow it. Don't follow people who are headed over a cliff. You hear me, young people? Don't follow people who are going over a cliff. Why would you do a dumb thing like that? Follow those that are going to fly off into the face of the sun. Okay, what number have you got, Brother Gabe? Number 23. Number 23, and let's stand as we sing. verses 1 and 4. All right, well, first and last verse. Let me just call your attention to verse 2, though, okay? Stand with me. Charles Spurgeon one time was observing the people not singing. That's not you, but I like this story. He was observing there were some who weren't singing. And he said, we're going to turn to number 23 in our hymnal and sing, Come We That Love the Lord. We're going to begin with verse 2, which said, Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God. That's good. But children of the heavenly King, they speak their joys abroad. Let's sing the first and last verse.